Well, good morning. It's amazing how God works. If you're not accustomed to this, let me tell you. You want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I had intentions of sharing a message with you and doing it in such a way that a little different than what I feel right now. And as is often the case, God has shown up and he's made it clear that I'm to do something a little different. And so I'm just going to share with you, as God has laid on my heart, the same message, but he's told me to do it in more of a conversational way with you. You see, as I said just a moment ago, I can sense an oppressive spirit. I can sense that the enemy is here and that he wants to keep the good news from each and every one of us. Now, I promise you two things on the front side. A, this is a word from God. And B, that it is good news. That it is good news. I've entitled our message, Take the Freeway. Take the Freeway. And I'll tell you up front that this is in many ways a continuation from our time last week. Last week we talked about and looked into God's Word and saw the promises that we have to be set free. And I have to tell you up front, yesterday or last week was probably the most friction-oriented message that I have shared from our pulpit. Because we tackled some strongholds of the world. And I'm here to tell you, we're not backing down. We stand on God's word, good news, the truth that will set you free. Last week, as we looked at what it is to be taken up and oppressed in the world, we talked about God leading us as a people to birth a ministry that we will entitle the Freedom Ministry. And God continued to just speak into my heart and make it clear what is going to be coming through us as a people. But let me give you a kind of synopsis of what happened last week. Last week we took a look at many of the systems of the world that started off with the best of intentions, but have been hijacked away from Christ in much the same way that many churches in our day have been steered away from the truth of God's word. And while they still claim to want to do something good, and while they still claim the name of our Savior, they have walked away from the Lordship of Christ. Well, last week we took a look at the promise that we have as children of God, that those that will come to Christ have to be set free. We pointed out that nowhere in the Bible will you ever find a place where Jesus half healed somebody. Nowhere does he take somebody to a hiatus point and drop them off. He says, if you will embrace me in the fullness of my offer to you as Lord and Savior, I will set you free. Well, last week, I had a couple of folks that left here very angry with me. And I want to share with you a couple of things that were said, because it sets the preface and it'll help you understand why we're going to go where we're going to go. I was told that not everybody can handle God's truth, and that there were many people that were not here last week. This is a quote. There were people that were not here last week, and it's a good thing that they weren't. And I said, I beg your pardon. A person said to me, you don't understand the problem. And if you did, you would know that they can't handle that truth. Consequently, it's a good thing that they weren't here. I want to tell you right up front, it's never a good thing for somebody to not get God's truth and love. It's never a good thing. And I pray that before we're done today, you will see what last week explained the what and the how, and that this week you'll see the why. And I pray that if you are one that believes that there are people who are held into the bondage of sin and self that are not ready to hear God's truth and love, I pray that today your mind will be changed forever. Let me share with you a couple of verses that come out of Matthew chapter 11, where we'll spend our time this morning. And I just want to do this as a preface before I show you a summary of where we were last week. Matthew 11, verse 12 says this, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." This is Jesus speaking. And what he's saying is, listen, this is not easy street. And you will be persecuted. And yes, my way is the narrow road. And yes, it will be something that brings friction out of the world. But it is the way of truth and life. He goes on in verse 19 and he says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" Jesus said, they called me out and were calling me names and saying I was all this and all that. And what they don't like about me is that I eat with tax collectors and I'm friends with sinners. I told you up front, this is good news. Here's the good news. There are none of us that are too far away from the love and the reach of Jesus Christ. That the truth that is extended through the person of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. There is no them in the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't use that word. And we're to understand that. So consequently, if I know that Jesus loves all of us and that he died for all of us to extend this invitation, then his word is for all of us. Anytime and every time. And so that we can begin on the same footing, I want to show you the video that we ended with last week that brings with it an understanding scripturally, God's word, verses that are going to underpin the promise of God that you don't need Jesus plus anything. What we need is a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Is life going to be hard? Of course it is. Are good habits those things that we should pursue? Of course they are. But lest we forget that it is Jesus Christ who will set us free, and that all things are possible with God, and that the power that we receive comes with a purpose and a calling. Let me show you again what you have as a promise as a child of God, and what you have to offer those who have rejected Christ as a universal promise, not from you or from me, but from God and his word, so that people will know you no longer have to live like a hamster on the wheel. You no longer have to keep going through these cycles of falling and getting up and falling and getting up and falling and getting up. We're never going to be perfect and we will continuously fall. But those of us that know what it is to be held into the bondage of sin and self, who have not yet been set free, know that there's a difference between stumbling and living in perpetual sin. Let's refresh the promises we have from God to be set free. This is the birth of our freedom ministry. Matthew, if you would.
I've been here grounded for too long. I'm ready to see the open wide, ready to sing a different song. I've seen my troubles long the way. Sail towards the sun. I want to turn another page. I'm on my way. I'm ready to fly. I'm ready to soar. I'm ready to leave this world behind. I'm ready to open up the door. I'm ready to fly. I'm ready to spread of gravity.
no matter what. And if I perish, I perish, no matter what. We have been called to fly, to be set free, to have this power with a purpose. And I want to suggest to you, my friends, that if you minimize that, if you don't own that as a Christian, you are disrespecting Christ and what he did on the cross. Again, when people say to me, Pastor Jeff, and this was part of my experience last week, you don't really understand. You've only been to 15 or 20 encounters. You don't understand. I want to suggest to you that I fully understand. The issue here is not that we don't understand the problem, it's that people don't understand the cure, which is Christ. When Jesus says that the Son has set you free, you are free. Now the question becomes, how does this happen? And then the question goes back to, well, should you or shouldn't you set this up as the truth that sets people free? Let me bring you to God's Word in 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 18, and I'm going to bring you 22 to 25. Listen to Paul here. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So let me first establish this. Whether or not somebody receives the good news as good news is not going to determine whether or not it really is what they need. And God's Word tells us right up front that the message of the cross, this truth, to those who are perishing, they're going to say it's foolishness. Now, as I said to you last week, we have two options. We can either love them or leave them. Where somebody is in this place where they are rejecting the good news, and it is good news, we can either love them and bring them the truth even though they don't like it, or they don't believe it, or they don't think that they're ready for it, or we can leave them where they are and say, okay, fine. Well, hopefully, I'll get a chance tomorrow. Hopefully, at some point, somebody will come along and they will share the truth with you. We don't have that option as children of God. Now, that's not to say, again, you don't show up with a bullhorn. We don't wrestle anybody to a place of salvation. What I'm talking about is holding up Jesus Christ as the only way, the only source of life transformation, the only way to be set free. When we say, as the people said to me last week, they're not ready for that, I want you to see that what you're doing then is leaving them out adrift. And I want you to think about something in terms of personal credibility. If you tell somebody that you want to help them, but you leave Christ out of the equation, and you do nice things, one, are you really helping them? I would suggest to you, you've only upgraded their ticket on the Titanic. And number two, what does it say about your credibility when you later come by and bait and switch them? And say, okay, I got you to step three of an improved standard of living. Now let me tell you about Jesus. So, whoa, what just happened here? Paul makes it very clear that the message of the cross, yeah, it's foolishness to them. But it is the good news and the only thing that will set them free. He says, Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks, they look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Did Paul have options to help people along the way, to nudge them a little bit, to get them in a better place to hear the good news? Of course he did. But he says, we preached Christ crucified. He said later, and we looked at it last week, look, I became all things to all people. I'm going to be as flexible as a Chinese contortionist in trying to help people get this. It's not a matter of being rigid and not loving. What he's saying is, listen, our message was always the same. There is one higher power. There is one way out. Nothing else. But the good news is, this is absolute freedom. That nothing is impossible with God. That those that are in Christ become a new creation. Now, how do I speak it? I speak it one way to this person, one way to this person, one way to this person. How active and engaged am I? I'm outside the walls of the church. I love people enough. I have to be a carrier of this message of love and light. But the message never changes. He says this in 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 17. Since we have such a hope. He said, listen, I know the truth. I have the hope of living eternally with Christ. Since we have this hope, we are very bold. God's words. He doesn't change the message depending on the circumstance. He changes his delivery. He changes himself and to fit that environment. But the message is always the same. It's always the gospel. Jesus loves you. He has died for you. You need him and him alone. You must repent. You must trust with a biblical faith. And then you must surrender your life to him. Same message every place. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing. He says, even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He says, we're not like those Pharisees and those that even now when they preach and they share the word that Moses gave, they still put a veil over their face. He says, if you shield it because you don't think they're ready, if you think that there's some kind of superficial filtering that needs to happen, Paul says they have a veil over their heart now. I want to encourage you to understand something, that as a child of God, if you are a biblical Christian, God has never called you to sift seed. He has called you to become a double-fisted seed sower. You are to spread as much love and truth as you possibly can. None of us is to say, well, you know, listen, Lord, I know you gave me your word, and I know you told us to be bold and that this is the only way that they'll be set free, but I've sized things up down here, and old Bill, I don't think he's ready. Can you think of that? Last week, I was told again, it's a good thing some of these people weren't here. They're not ready. In essence, you'd have damaged them, Pastor. I want you to know that last week, we had three people that were here that were on their way to a detox center after they left the service. I want you to think about how God orchestrated timing there. Some of which were saying, for the first time, I got a call in the afternoon. It's a beautiful thing. Jeff had no idea how much God was using him. I had been challenged and friction was put on me for the truth that sets free. I got a call that said, I brought a girl with me today and she's on her way to a center. And for the first time, she now knows that this does not have to be a perpetual problem. She can get off the hamster wheel and truly be set free. It changed everything. We had another person that was on their way who this week, I was told, got a call on Friday, Thursday or Friday. He said, Pastor Jeff, somebody was on their way, and I just got a call that said, there's a problem. They are being thrown out of the center. I said, uh-oh, what's going on? And the other side of the phone lit up with warmth and said, no, it's not what you think. What's happened is the person has been told they have to leave because they're in a secular system where they're being told the 12 steps are the way out. And this person who is in church on Sunday is now, quote, disruptive to the group. And said, where's the God in this? I know it's Jesus that will set me free. It's not these steps. Where's the God part? Now, I'm going to talk about friction. Okay? But there's somebody who knows that they know that they know that they have been set free. Not through a program or any steps, but that Jesus Christ, the one true, the message of the cross, which was foolishness yesterday, is what has set me free today. I want to ask you the question. There are two questions I want to address this morning that are real life, right out of the trenches. First one that tends to come is somebody says, well, what does it take? You're offering this freedom. You're telling me all about it. Last week we talked about what it is and the promise that it is. the real world question, especially if you're somebody that's in the midst of struggles right now, is, well, how do I get this freedom? We talk about it as the gospel, which is the Greek word good news. I want to show you a 3-minute piece that is one of the best I've ever seen that brings clarity to that question. You need to personally understand and embrace both in head and heart the fullness of the gospel. This is not just something that goes on the end of your train. You don't get to pin Jesus onto the end of your train. It's understanding who we are as sinners, who God is as the Creator, and who Jesus is as our Savior, and then to live with Him as Lord. Let me show you a piece, because if you're sitting there saying, okay, Pastor Jeff, I want this freedom, how? Let me show you the key, which is the gospel that opens up the door to eternal freedom. Watch this.
The gospel tells me that God loves and saves me at the cost of His Son. And so if I'm going to understand the gospel, I have to understand that God is my maker and that I'm accountable to Him. I have to understand myself and my sin, that though God was my maker, is my maker, and though He gave me everything that I have, I've rebelled against Him and I have chosen to worship myself and my own desires, and to go my own way instead of embracing Him as the greatest delight and satisfaction in this life and world. And that because of that, I have not only experienced a personal disintegration and a horizontal disintegration in my relationships with others, but that I am separated from Him, that His wrath is upon me, and that I am estranged from Him. And the only answer to that is God's grace in Christ Jesus. That is, that God in His mercy takes the initiative to come towards me, though I am the offender against Him. And He has to do this at the cost of His Son, because He is perfectly just. He cannot simply sweep my sin under the carpet. That sin has to be dealt with. He chooses to deal with this sin in the person of His Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ willingly takes my place, and in my place is condemned for me, lives the life that I could not live, dies a death that I ought to have died, and does it in my place so that all the benefits of what He has done are credited to my account. His righteousness is imputed to me. My sin is imputed to Him. So the gospel affirms what the Bible teaches about God. He's my Creator. What it teaches about my sin, what it teaches about grace and about justification and imputation. And then, of course, the gospel entails my response to those truths, that I must repent of my sin, I must see my sin and flee to my Savior, and I must have faith in Him, I must trust in Him, I must believe His word of promise, I must put my trust and confidence in His person, and I must embrace Him for salvation and rest on Him alone and not on anything that is good in me, not anything that I have earned or deserved, but simply what has been purchased for me by His blood. And all of these things are essential for a proper understanding of the gospel. And all of these things are important for us, even in our evangelical climate today, to reaffirm and reassert as we attempt to help the church have a more biblically rounded understanding of the gospel.
All right, now many people will say to me, Pastor Jeff, see, that's the problem. Nowadays, you sound so black and white. That description, there's not a whole lot of room for freedom of expression. Let me tell you, truth is truth. And when it's true, and when it is the truth that will unlock the door to eternal life and freedom, when it comes at the price of a sacrificed Savior on a cross, where we are the nails that put Him there, and then His love for us and His sacrifice is what held Him there. It's not so rigid. It's just true. I want to say to you that some would say, well, see, this is that whole tough love part of biblical Christianity that I don't like. I would suggest this to you, that if you think of this as tough love, you don't understand it. and hold your thought if you're saying, yeah, Pastor Jeff, see, you're a pastor. This is why you don't understand what life is like down on the street. Let me tell you, I spent more time on the street than I have as a pastor. I understand real well. You don't understand. Okay, I've been on both sides, and I know the truth that has set me free. I know that nothing is impossible with God. I am a new creation in Christ. And if you are a biblically true Christian, so are you. And I just want you to wake up to that promise, because if the devil has oppressed you and got you to believe that you're something less than that, don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie. When we talk about tough love, this truth, I'll tell you where the toughness comes. It was on the cross. God got all the tough and we get all the love. I get so frustrated when I hear people talk about, oh, that's tough love. No, it isn't. It's love. The tough happened at the cross. We have the privilege of carrying a cross daily. If God is choosing to use you to be his hands and his feet, what a privilege that is. And again, I say to you, if that concept is hard, you may not be who you think you are. I tell you that on the standing of God's word. And again, if you think I'm all wet, hold your thoughts till we're done. Let me take you to where Paul, here again, out on his first missionary journey, shows us the power of owning this truth in love by faith. He tells us this in Acts 14:8-15. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled who was lame from birth and had never walked. Now, this man was lame from birth and never walked. Tell me about your problem. Tell me that your problem is unique to you and God is not big enough to handle it. That you need Jesus plus whatever you want to use to fill in the blank. Because I'm going to bring you to Lystra. And I'm going to show you what happens when a person of faith embraces the promises of God. A man in Lystra sat. He was crippled from birth. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul was sharing the truth in love. He didn't have 7 steps to a better family budget. He didn't want to give you 5 quick steps to be a better, bright, light, happy person at work. Paul was saying, we need to repent and come to Christ and receive the gift of eternal life through grace in a surrendered life. This man in Lystra was listening to Paul speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. And Paul called out, stand up on your feet. At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted, oh, the gods have come down to us in human form. Later, Paul says, but no. He started shouting at them. He said, we too are only men, human like you. But we are preaching the gospel, the good news, and we're telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God. This man had faith. He heard the truth. And Paul is saying, listen, turn away from all of these useless man-made thoughts and approaches. Paul was not okaying some interim system that nudged them up the line so that they'd be in a better place to hear the truth. He came always with the truth in love. And where it was met with people of faith in whom God had touched, miraculous things happened. So the question becomes, what do we do? Do we divorce ourselves of Jesus's way, Paul's way, the biblical way? Stop telling truth in love because people think it's foolishness, or because they don't seem to like it, or because they think, again, hey God, I know you wanted me to share with Bill, but I don't think he's ready. I'll get back to him in a while. Or do we obey? Do we do what God has instructed us to do? Do we follow what the Bible shows us over and over and over again? Or do we do it our way? What's it going to be? I promise you, the more you look into God's word, the more you will see that when we faithfully obey, when we bring truth and love, then and only then will you see the power of God show up. That's where you will see people set free. I don't care how good an idea you have. Your good idea will never match up to the God idea of truth and love. Truth and love. We are preaching the gospel, the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God. That is our message. If you know somebody who is oppressed, if you know somebody that is in bondage, that is the message. It's the good news of the gospel. Now, I promised you that we would address two questions. I think there's another one that's very real from the street. I've had conversations with some of you, and some of you have had conversations with others. The question becomes, okay, Pastor Jeff, let's say that's me. I have done that. I am a biblical Christian. Why is it that I still struggle with sin? What happens? Why is it that I'm not truly set free from any temptation? I promise you on the power of God's word that where you truly worship, where you have biblically given your heart and soul to Christ, that you have been given the power to win every battle. That doesn't guarantee that you will win because you've got a part to play. Too many of us are leaning on shovels and praying for holes. We have our part to do. What we have been promised is that we have the ability to win every battle because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The challenge is not that we don't have the source of victory. It's that we don't tap in and walk with him. I want to show you a clip from Mark Driscoll. He's the pastor of Mars Hill Church in Seattle. They do a pretty creative thing on Sunday nights. They actually open up to a live mic kind of thing. And that he takes incoming text message questions on the fly, live. He gets asked this question. How do I know if I'm a sinner who is not saved and continues to sin versus whether or not I'm a true Christian who is stumbling and sinning? When we talk about being set free, this is one of those questions that I think is very real. Some people ask it, some don't, and it haunts them. How do I know? I think he's done a great job of addressing it, and I want to share it with you before we finish up.
What you are about to see is live, raw, real answers at roughly 10 p.m. to text message questions that I receive after our final service on Sunday nights at Mars Hill Church. How do I know whether I sin because I'm a bad Christian or because I'm not a Christian? Wow. Okay. What do you want to do? Deepest desire, what do you want? That's my answer. Christians do sin, and they hate it. Because ultimately, it's not their deepest desire in their new heart. It's not what they want the most. You'll have conflicted desires. You may give into those temptations and sin. But if you're a Christian, your deepest desire in your new heart is to do the good. I'll give you an example of this very thing. I don't know if I shared it with you or not, but I'll give you an analogy, an illustration. I met with a guy not too long ago. He knows a ton of Bible. He'd been in churches for years, been in Mars Hill for years, someone I know personally, actually really love him, care for him. And he came clean with me, honest with me. We met and he said, I just want to sin. I want to leave my wife, go have sex with women, get drunk. I just want to go waste my life. I said, really? I mean, you got a wonderful wife, you got a... You're financially secure, you're young, you're healthy, you have friends who love you. I mean, God has given you a wonderful life. I mean, pretty much any person would look at this life and say, well, that's sort of the dream right there. A loving, beautiful spouse, health, financial affluence, comfort, everything's cool. What's the problem? He said, I'm not happy, I'm miserable. Miserable. I said, what would make you happy? He said, a divorce, getting drunk, and having sex with lots of women would make me happy. I said, that's your deepest desire? He said, yeah, that's my deepest desire. I said, you know what the Bible says? He said, yeah, I know the Bible says that all those things are wicked sin. And he actually quoted all the verses. Bible says don't get drunk with wine. Bible says not be a fornicator. Bible says not commit adultery. Bible says there shouldn't be a hint of sexual immorality in Ephesians. This guy just goes right through the verses. He's like, you can give me verses, but I know them already. I was like, okay. What he's saying is, I know the truth, I just don't love it, and I don't care. I said, I want you to get a few weeks, and I want you to pray to God, and I want you to think through what your deepest desire is. He says, why is that? I said, if you're a Christian, your deepest desire is going to be to obey Jesus, and that will give you joy. If you're not a Christian, your deepest desire will be for sin. And sin is going to be your real appetite. That's what you're going to be hungry for. I shared the gospel with him. I said, here's Jesus. Here's who he is. Here's what he's done. He says, I know that. He says, and I know that's what you want from me, Mark. And I know you love me. And I know you want me to be a Christian. He says, but I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to repent of sin. I'm not happy. I want to go do what I want to do. I want to sin. I mean, it breaks your heart. This is somebody you know. This is somebody you love. I said, well, give it a few weeks. Maybe, you know, hopefully you'll come around. He meets with me again a few weeks later. I said, where are you at? He said, my decision's made. He said, I'm not a Christian. I never was a Christian. Don't want to be a Christian. Have no desire to be a Christian. I'm going to go do all the stuff I want to do. I said, is there anything I could do? He said, no. I said, I love you very much. Let me pray for you. I care for you. I said, if you ever change your mind, promise me you'll call. I can't make you do something. I can't make you love Jesus. I can't make you love your wife. I can't make you live holy. I can't make you. I can't threaten you. I can't beat you up. I can't scream at you. I can't make you. I said, but if your heart ever changes, would you please call me because I want to help you? He said, yeah, I promise I'll call. I said, okay, door's open. I love you. Call. He's gone to do what he's going to do. Okay. How do you know whether you're a Christian who's sinning or a non-Christian who's sinning? Here's my answer. Does it bother you? If you're a Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, rather, the Holy Spirit in you is going to convict you of sin. Jesus said that in John. He will convict you of sin. Do you feel convicted? Does it bother you? When you sin, is that what really makes you happy or is that what makes you miserable? Maybe it's fun for a moment and then your conscience kicks in. You're like, what was I thinking? That was wrong. That's not what I need to do. That's not what I want to do. That's got to stop. And lastly, what are the deepest desires of your heart? Is it for sin or Jesus? If your deepest desires are for Jesus, you're a Christian who's struggling with sin and temptation. If your deepest desires are for sin, you may not be a Christian, and you may need to start by giving your life to Jesus and working out of your new heart, because apart from your new heart, there's no hope of you overcoming the temptation to sin, because your appetites, longings, desires are for sin. To help you assess this, a community group, a pastor, a godly Christian person that you know, coming clean with them. Because if you have your sin in darkness and secrecy, they're not going to be able to speak into your life. So you need to come clean. I appreciate you coming clean with us, but you need to come clean with someone for prayer, community group, close Christian friend, whatever it may be. I don't know because I can't judge your heart. But you know your heart better than anyone else. And Paul says that we should judge ourselves. He says that to the Corinthians. We should judge ourselves. Where are you at? Does your sin bother you? Is it your deepest desire? Or is it something that you want to stop? Those are the questions.
Now I promise you, when you take that approach, you are not going to be met with smiles and hugs all the time. But I would suggest to you again on the power of God's word. The real friend, the real love, holds the truth and does not waver. It would have been very easy for him to say, okay, well, I can see that this is going nowhere. So because I don't want to risk losing him, why don't I find another way to try to make him comfortable? I'll meet him in the middle. Let me open up another door just to keep him moving forward. because it's better to stay close. I would say this to you, that what I love about that video is that you sense his love. He really loves that person. You don't show love by watering down the truth. You show love by meaning what you say and showing up and being there. Those of us that know people and who have friends and loved ones that are in some of these other environments, I don't want us to shun those environments. I want us to go into them as missionaries. That we're to be champions of love and light. What's most important is that you bring the love and the light. You can't. With the integrity of your call as a Christian, renegotiate the offer. You can't offer them middle ground. Jesus says there is none. There's a fork in the road. Be a loving tour guide and do all that you can. Stand at the door and do all that you can to encourage and to reach and to carry those that need the truth. Let me bring you to the closing passage. Because again, I know what many will say. That's tough love. No, it isn't. That's truth love. Others will say, and I hear it often, Pastor Jeff, you don't understand though. That's hard. This way is hard. If you call yourself a Christian, listen very, very closely to what I'm about to say. Because I'm going to quote your Lord and your Savior, and I'm going to blow that position up, I pray, for the last time. Jesus speaking, Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me. Jesus speaking, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's not hard to receive rest. Come to me. Get off the hamster wheel. Get out of the programs. Come to me. And I will give you a gift of rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Where's the hard part so far? Come to me and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart. Where's the hard part? It must be coming, right? And you will find rest for your souls. I told you last week. People are trying to medicate and program their bodies, hoping that their soul will follow. And it seldom does. But I promise you, set free a soul and the body is always in tow. I will give you rest for your soul. Okay, here comes the hard part. This is where I probably have now got it all wrong. Verse 30 really shows that I'm wrong. Jesus speaking, he says, for my yoke is easy. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you want to tell me that this is hard, then you're not going to argue with me. You've got to take it up with the King of Kings. Because Jesus says it is easy and the burden is light. Now let me walk you back through some of the passages we've already been through. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness. You see, the problem isn't that it's too hard. It's that they don't believe it. It's foolishness to them. Yet we know, Paul says, it is the power of God. And we preach Christ and Christ crucified. It says, since we have this hope, we are very bold. I don't water down and meet you in the middle. I'm going to be very bold because I know this truth and I have a hope that is in Christ. I will not be like Moses and veil it, because when we veil it and filter it, people's hearts will also carry a filter. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Those that had faith were healed. And I'm telling you that we were preaching the gospel, telling you and others to turn from these worthless ways. Tough love. The tough was on the cross. The love is what's offered to you. You don't understand, Pastor Jeff. That's hard. No. No, it isn't. The offer of Matthew 11:28-30, is that you repent. Come to me. Lay down who you were. Turn from who you were. Come to me. Implied repentance. Come to me. Implied faith. Trust that you know that you know that you know that I am who I say I am. Come and pick up my yoke and learn from me. Surrender who you were and embrace who I am calling and offering you the opportunity to be. Do that and I will give you rest in the body. I will give you rest in the soul, and it will be easy, and the burden will be light. My friends, that is always the message that we are to bring. It is not a matter of timing or schedule or where somebody else is. You see, one of the greatest challenges to the systems and programs of the world is they start with man and they work out and eventually bump into God. The only way that you will be set free is if you start with Creator God and work your way out. What does He say? What is His way? You see, the bondage that so many of us are held under, we call a disease. When it's called a disease, you look for some kind of external cure, something to add from the outside that's going to work on the topical issues. When you realize what God says, it's not a disease, it's a sin. What's the solution to sin? Repentance and saving faith in Jesus Christ. When that happens, the soul is cleansed. You're made new and you are set free, and the body will follow. If the body isn't following, the soul may not be clean. That's the hard part that nobody wants to talk about. But that's the truth of God's word. That's what He gives us. I want to remind you that if you think this is too much, if you think there's a better way, Galatians 1:8 says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a good news other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally cursed." If we want to have that conversation where we say, "God, I know what you say in the Bible, and I know what you think about old Steve down here, or Bill, or Sue, or Mary, but I got this one figured out. I'm going to offer them a different kind of good news, and then I'll get back to you later with them." Galatians 1:8 says, you better only bring one good news. Again, I say to you, our message never changes. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And it's only through that saving relationship with Christ that you are set free. Anything else and everything else will be various forms of bondage. Short term and long term. I say to you that we as a people, we live at the intersection of grace and sin. Those of us that know what it is to have been saved, we're to become servants that help carry the message. And it's to live in a world that understands, listen, there is sin. It's very real. There are people that are held in bondage. What does that intersection of grace and sin look like? It looks like the cross. We're to live there, celebrating the freedom that we have, committed to sharing it. God's made it clear how that works and the message we're to bring, and that we're to be committed to being carriers of love and light. We don't rewrite the script. no matter what somebody thinks, how foolish that is, how much they threaten to walk away. The reality is, the man in that video is just more honest than most. When people are rejecting Christ, it's not usually because they don't understand. It's because they don't want to surrender self and embrace a Savior, because the Savior comes as Lord. I went to a video concert Friday night, and I had a moment with God as one particular song was played that really undergirds the message here today, that there is a time where sinners and saints come together. And for those that would say to me after a message like last week or this week, well, you know, you don't understand. It wasn't good timing for those people. They're not ready for God's love and truth. A song kept saying over and over again, if not now, when? Where? Right here. I'm going to pray, and I want to ask you, if you're ready to get off the hamster wheel and embrace true freedom, if you're willing to accept the truth of the gospel, all of it, then come and pray with us. If it's for the first time, then let me share that with you. If it's just to rekindle the fire, come and pray. Get alone with God. Let us become a city on our knees, a people that understand that there's no greater place to be as a Christian than right at the intersection where sinners and saints come together, not to party, but to change eternity. And again, I promise you, there's nothing in it for the sinners if the saints don't tell the truth in love. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, I pray that now as we listen to this song, as we embrace what it is to be called as ambassadors of love and light, let us not go to our own game plans or worldly systems or either programs or churches that may have started with you but have run astray. Be they the churches that claim to be Christian but divorce themselves of your word, or programs that started off as Christ-centered that have become man-centered. In whatever we do, Lord, let us be Christ-centered, God-honoring. Use us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
If you gotta start somewhere, why not here? If you gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I say here. If we gotta start sometime, I say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to third world missions, love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints. Two worlds collide in a beautiful display. It's all love. Start somewhere, why not here? If you gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I say here.
Amen.